Okay.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. If we sound a little hazy today, it's because we're broadcasting live from the Clinton House Plantation. We've been talking about this for a
couple weeks.
Actually, a couple of weeks. And, man, it's been a great morning. Upstate Outdoors doesn't necessarily do a holiday event or anything.
No, but I think this is a first.
Yeah, for me and Springer, this would be our equivalent of a holiday Christmas party.
Or some kind of Christmas bonus,
you know?
It's all
good, man. So we're broadcasting live to you today from the Clinton House Plantation. We great sponsor of the show, has been for a long, long time, and we got a chance to come out this morning and sample some of the wares. Mike Johnson and the crew down here doing a great job on some birds. And we've got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to start out the show like we always do with the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the few times that we'll have any fishing to talk about on today's show.
True.
We talk about fishing a good bit. But so I've got the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about how to fish unfamiliar waters.
Dynamite.
Yeah, that's usually what works best, right?
That works for me, man. Takes all I need is a dip net, brother.
Yeah, dynamite and dip net.
Bingo.
The old telephone.
Get her done.
And then actually on our quail and chucker and pheasant hunt this morning.
Wow.
We went with the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Steve sent
And he didn't shoot us.
And he didn't shoot. He threatened to shoot us a couple of times. But we had the boss, Steve Sinicropi, with us today.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk with him on the show and have him on. And I tell you what, one thing I will say about Steve.
He can shoot a daggum pheasant.
He can shoot a pheasant now. I don't know about the rest of them. But,
and that was a first for me. That's the first pheasant I had ever in my life shot at.
Yeah, Springer said, daggum, that's the first time I've ever shot at a pheasant before.
It was really cool.
And so we had a – do anybody ever get a tally? We'll have Mike Johnson on the show during the second hour.
Right.
A lot of stuff going on today. We've got a pheasant tower shoot going on at the Clinton House Plantation today. And so we're going to talk with Mike Johnson during the second hour. We also got some news from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Like everybody else, they're recovering from the weather. And got some public lands up at Lake Joe Cassie that are reopened, and also got some good news about some partnership for public lands.
Yeah,
actually down in this area, the Sumter National Forest. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, the turkey numbers are in, and the numbers when they crunch the numbers after the turkey season,
right.
And there was a slight decline in the harvest this year, so we'll talk about that. And then Springer's going to bring us, during the second hour, top of the second hour, the Roadkill Cafe.
We stuffing some quail today, brother.
Oh, you've been stuffing quail all morning. So that goes.
I've been trying to stuff quail
yeah.
all morning.
Is it lead-stuffed quail? Is that what we're having on the Roadkill?
Actually, it's a legit dressing to stuff inside the quail.
Okay, so he's been stuffing some lead in the quail this morning.
We're
going to stuff in some dressing in it.
Exactly.
And then, like I promised, we've got Mike Johnson, the general manager down here at the Clinton House Plantation. We'll have him on the show. And don't believe a word he says about the shooting abilities of your two Upstate Outdoors hosts. Because I don't know. I don't think Mike's we killed a lot of birds.
Because I was rusty.
At the end of the day, okay – birds did come back to the handler,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Actually, if we were going to interview the two best hunters in the house,
it would be the dogs.
It would be Tilly and Snowbird.
Exactly.
Right? Because it's like,
they're awesome.
He's like, where'd that bird go? I don't know. It went over there way somewhere.
And here come the dog with it
and
in
then
his
here
mouth.
I told you I hit it. So we'll have some fun
stuff,
talking
man.
About talking about the hunt today and also a lot of the stuff that they've got going on here. You know, hunting season does not stop.
No.
On January 1st, like a lot of deer hunters would think. They got a lot of matter of fact, the quail season is really just getting cranked up.
If we can get some of this moisture out of here, it would really, really
help.
Oh
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we've had some rainy time, and definitely a cool, frosty morning is the best time to come out here, especially during the week.
Yes.
I was talking to Mike a little bit earlier and said that, you know, the weekends are kind of hit and miss, but a lot of corporate events take place down here at the Clinton House during the week. So looking forward to talking to him. And then got a pretty cool story that I found on the CarolinaSportsman.com. A lot of big deer been killed later on in the season.
Late in the season.
And I found one about a 10-year-old kid standing in the lower part of the state, dropped a record buck deer.
Yeah.
And I actually thought about Springer when I pulled this, put this on the show.
That's scary.
Because he was hunting. He wasn't hunting from the interstate, but he was hunting near an interstate and thought
there.
That was really going to mess up his hunt.
No, you'd be amazed.
Yeah, well, I think he was too.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into our calendar of events. One of the ones that we've been promoting for a long time is the tower shoot down here at the Clinton House Plantation. And we've got to thank Oscar McCurry from McCurry's Outboards providing lunch for us today.
Yeah, and a nice crowd, too,
yeah, they had a nice
weather.
Crowd. You know. Apparently they've been shooting a lot of birds because we heard,
them shoot them. They
on the next property over.
They were hammering.
Yeah, it sounded like they were hammering. And I tell you what, one thing I noticed about those pheasants, we had a pheasant get up in a tree.
I couldn't even. And he put it, and I don't know where he went. He just juked me, man.
When they decide to leave, they're gone.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna wind up the show today with a parting shot. I don't remember. What was our parting shot?
It's where the kids.
Oh, it was about the turkey. Okay, yeah. A lot going on this morning.
Yeah.
And we've got a story about a good Samaritan who rescues a school kid from a wild turkey.
It's incredible.
And you could mix those players up about good Samaritan, wild turkey, school kid, but it all comes out good, and it's a pretty funny story.
It
so
is.
You came down to the Clinton House
yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And did a little scouting, little pre-scouting.
Yeah, Mike rode me around in the mud.
Yeah?
Because that's the one that got to go. There's a lot of mud going on right now.
I tell you what, it's just
a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful muddy place right now.
You know, and it gives you an idea of the sheer work that it takes to maintain that many acres, that many roads, that many drainage ditches, that many. It's incredible.
And there's a lot of stuff that they have going on at the same time here.
Right.
I mean, you've got a full competition skeet range, trap and skeet range in different areas. And then you've got the quail hunting grounds.
Yeah.
You've got deer hunting grounds. And, of course, you know, these seasons don't necessarily overlap. But, you know, deer season's going on now.
Yeah.
And quail season comes in. They start about October and run until March. So, yeah, a lot of maintenance and stuff that goes on.
It's a lot of work, I can tell.
Not to mention there's a lot of shooting competitions that they have down here.
Yeah.
And the one that I don't like to talk about a whole lot because I kind of like to keep it for myself, they got some pretty decent fishing
yeah.
in their stocked ponds down here.
I was going to bring my fishing rod yesterday, but the weather was awful.
Just like you talked about, the ponds down here are pretty much mud holes.
And look like Yahoo.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk.
Yeah, chocolate milk. Fishing in chocolate milk is not my favorite thing.
But, you know
they're in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a great venue here, and we've had a good time despite a little bit of rainy weather.
Yeah.
But I think
it could be snow. Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be snow, and it could be worse. And so we're gonna bring you the show today. We're on our live remote from the Clinton House Plantation down here in Clinton, South Carolina. We're going to go to our break now. When we come back, we'll bring you the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're live here at the Clinton House with the whole damn Santa Crappie gang and everybody from the Clinton House. Get you some. Those birds were flying like the breeze.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Breeze. As long as Mr. Rain's not in here.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
I got to describe the folks are out there in listening going, wow, those poor guys are sitting out there. And we're inside the lodge at the Clinton House Plantation today. And we're sitting out here by fireplace.
Yeah.
And
bathroom immediately to the
left. Yeah, that's it. You know, back in the old days, it used to be like, yeah, put me out there by the fireplace in Springs. Like, put me near the bathroom.
Whenever we go to a remote, the first thing I ask Elise or whoever's doing it with, I say, how close are we to the bathroom? Because I'm over 50, and, dude, when I got to go, I got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And
I'm sorry. It is. This is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've had a really good hunt out here today, and wanted to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog. We're talking about fishing unfamiliar waters. With the holidays on tap, many anglers may be headed out of town to visit family or on vacation. Travel may be destined to a fishing location, or fishing may be a by-chance occurrence. If you're going somewhere to visit family and friends, or going back home, you know, maybe you're like, hey, I think I'm going to go by the old, you know.
It'd be nice to go home for Christmas.
Yeah, be nice to go home. Well, either way, you may be faced with trying to catch fish in unfamiliar waters. If so, here's a few tips to get you started. The first thing that successful anglers do when visiting a new destination, find out all you can ahead of time.
Exactly.
Call on the telephone or talk with local guides, anglers, bait shops, or anybody else who might have useful information about the waters. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And people say, well, why not just go on the internet?
That's exactly what
look up a report.
Right.
9 times out of 10, here's what happens when you go on the internet. It's great. Everything's great. They're doing this.
Hunky-dory.
They're doing, oh, everything's supposed to be like this, and they're doing that. And then you get down there, it's not even close.
Right.
I have found that time after time after time. I want to talk to a person. I don't want to read it on the internet, because internet is social media.
Right.
Okay? How much do you trust the media these days?
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Oh, yeah. There you go. you don't want to be shy. You want
exactly.
to call ahead on the phone. And try to get people to open up about what the area is like and what's going on. And when you get somebody to start talking,
yeah.
then be quiet and listen.
Listen.
You know, even take notes and stuff like that. And like I said, the internet is useful many times as far as maybe getting you on the map.
Yeah.
A lot of the highly published information is only there for advertising, mm-hmm. and it's not really up-to-date fishing. Now, after you get a report, you want to get a good contour map of the area and start looking for locations that'll be favorable to the fish that you're targeting or more likely to encounter or whatever stage they're in. Now, some people don't know how to read a contour map, but it's really pretty simple. Where the lines are closer together indicates a steep drop off, while the lines that are further apart indicate a more flat area with little change in depth. By recognizing just these two locations, drop offs and flats, you've just discovered the majority of places that fish like to hang out.
True.
Now, there are a number of map companies that offer local maps, especially for fishermen. Some of these will even have fishing tips integrated in them based on, you know, seasonable. And the maps clearly detail useful features like the contour lines we talk about. They're also going to give you some water depths, boat ramps. That's always useful, too,
yes.
so you know where the boat ramp is. And a wealth of other information. Now, the other thing is you want to know, you know, a lot of times people go somewhere and they want to go fish and they don't really care what they're fishing for, which is kind of a shotgun approach.
Right.
Okay, but if you talk to somebody and you say, hey, what am I most likely to catch or what fish am I going to target, then you can sort of detail your tactics down to that specific species. And you want to do a little bit of research on the seasonal movements of that fish if you aren't familiar with them. And you don't want to be fishing shallow water if the fish move off deep, and you don't want to be fishing deep water if the fish are up shallow.
True.
Now, another tip is to come prepared to fish different methods in different ways. I see this a lot of times. Too many people come into a new area expecting the fish to bite a certain way. They want to catch fish the way they want to fish.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you may come out and say, hey, all I'm going to do is throw topwater today.
Exactly.
But
all I'm going to throw is a fluke.
All I want to do is throw a fluke, or I want to do whatever.
Right.
That's why, and Springer and I agree on this, one of the few things is, I'm going somewhere new, I'm gonna live bait.
I'm gonna have live bait.
I'm gonna definitely gonna have live bait. I'm gonna find out what they're eating. Now, fish may be feeding, like we said, better on live bait than on artificial bait, and it may require some heavier or lighter tackle than you're accustomed to using.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, vary, vary what you've got with you in preparation. A lot of preparation goes on.
Right.
I spend, it's like my wife and I are going to go and I've been here 2 or 3 times. It's something that we do, you know, around the Christmas holidays.
Right.
I'm starting to get familiar with the area.
Yeah.
But because, you know, well, we got this red tide that's happened down there in Florida, or you got the weather that might change.
True.
Man, I'm going to have 3 or 4 different patterns that I fish, because really, truly, if I'm traveling somewhere and I'm not, you know, like trying to fish a tournament or something,
right,
I just want to have fun.
Exactly.
I want to go fish. Now, when you're fishing over an extended period of time, even just, you know, several days or a week, you should expect the weather to change from day to day. Part of your planning should include finding a safe place to fish if the weather turns bad. You want to find a bank or some other kind of structure, riprap bank, bridge piling, something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to break the wind.
Yep.
Because usually that's what
is the problem.
That's the problem. It's not so much that it's cold, but the wind starts to blow. You can't find anywhere to get out of the wind, and the weather's rough. And anyway, sometimes that means wearing heavier clothing. And 9 times out of 10, the weather is more trouble for you than it is.
Absolutely.
Fish, and finally, and you know, I'm going to sound like Mike Iaconelli here. Never give up.
Never give up.
Right. So if you're trying something that doesn't work, and don't, you know, if you've let's say you've gone in and you bought some tackle, some bait or whatever, that tackle kind of knows, they're like, well, I'm talking to this guy and they want you to do good,
right,
so you'll come back and buy more.
Absolutely.
And if you're not doing too good, then don't be afraid to go back in and say, hey man, you guys are local here. You understand what's going on. I tried this,
yes,
and I went here and I went there. Sometimes they might just feel sorry for you.
And that's the card I always try to play.
But go about 2 days, I just can't catch anything.
That's the card I always play.
And then they might feel sorry for you, and it might loosen up a little bit.
Right.
Well, you know, now they're kind of in the same boat with you. Like,
yeah.
I'm invested in this guy.
Got to help him out.
Having some success in fishing in this area. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might even say, well, what you go over by so-and-so, do this. And
Location X.
And another thing that a lot of my buddies out there would say, hey, if you don't know the area,
right,
and you're going to spend all this money for nothing,
right,
hey, hire a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a lot of times, you know, you might tell the guide, I always kind of hesitate if I've got my own boat with me, go out with that and then turn around and come back to the same locations the next day, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to run into that same guy.
Absolutely.
You know, you're fishing his spots. But, you know, just tell him, say, hey, we're down here for a few days.
Yeah.
I don't really know the area, and I kind of want to get a general feel for it. You know, tell me what's going on and how we're fishing. Don't just reel fish in.
Right.
Then the next 2 days, you can, you can find similar and maybe try to find some of your own spots.
Right. It's always a mystery, you know.
So,
you know, and when you have, and like you said, Philip, try to find somebody local.
Yeah.
Them tackle and bait shops, man. You usually, if you approach it the right way, you can always get some really good information if you just, you know, keep you know, hey, I tried this, you know. Didn't
tears
work.
Help
oh,
too.
Tears help.
If you
too.
Go in there crying,
man,
they hate
I
to see a grown
catch,
man cry
I
in the middle of their
catch
bait
no
shop.
Fish.
Y'all told me I would catch from doing this, and I didn't.
If all else fails, try that.
And, you know, a lot of times it might you may not pay attention to it, but if somebody's going to take the time to tell you how to do something.
Yeah, listen.
Listen to them.
Yeah.
And do it the way they tell you to, because it's like, oh, okay, well, I know how to do that.
That'll get you.
I know how to do that. But in you doing this basically the same thing your way,
yeah,
you're not doing it right.
No.
If there's already in you know, fishing, you can miss by that much.
And that's big.
But you still missed.
Right.
So there you have it. If anybody's traveling for the holidays, then good luck out there. And I guess you could kind of use the same bit of advice for hunting.
True.
Too.
True.
Except you're not on the water.
No. Yeah. But the same principles and the same, you know, thing would work out as well.
Awesome. Well, we got the boss on tap. We're going to go to our commercial break now. We're coming to you live from the Clinton House Plantation, and we'll be talking to Steve Sinicroppi, General Manager of Intercom WORD, and find out just how he kills all those pheasants that he killed today.
Did a great job. Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 1063 WORD, live at the Clinton House Plantation in beautiful Clinton. Come on down and see him. You won't regret it. We'll be back right after these messages.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is coming to you live from the Clinton House Plantation. Exit 52 off of I-26, go north for about 3 miles, and they're on the left.
Real easy to get to.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a guy that don't like to go nowhere.
Even Springer can find it. We showed up down here at daylight today and had a little bit of a weather break, and we got a special guest on the show with us today, our boss.
The man.
General manager of what are we calling ourselves now, Steve? Intercom, Upstate?
Intercom.
Intercom. Okay.
There you go.
Just Intercom. And so, Steve, man, what did you think of the bird hunt this morning?
The bird hunt is fantastic. If you haven't done this, you need to do it. It is a great experience.
And, you know, we've talked to Mike Johnson on and off several times. And over the years, you're looking at quail hunting in the Southeast is it's kind of been in decline for, I don't know, several 30 years or more.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you're replacing that with the hunting preserve. And a lot of folks will throw off, say, oh, well, it's not like the wild bird shooting, and those things they're just too easy to shoot, right?
Is Negative.
That been, was that your experience today?
No. Well, you know, if it was too easy, we're real bad because a bunch of them got away. So let me tell you that right now.
Exactly.
I tell you what, even they were talking about, well, it was kind of a rainy day, and the birds, you know, the birds set out today. Man, once the dogs pointed them, you didn't know what you were going to get.
True.
You might have a chucker blow up in front of you. You might have a dozen quail pop up in front of you, or you might have a pheasant pop up in front of you.
Yeah, I like the pheasant part.
The pheasant startled me.
And I'm So here's what happens. The first pheasant that we come up on, Springer turns and starts running the other way.
No, I said, I'm sorry. Here, I said, damn, it's a pheasant.
Yeah.
And about that time, Cedar Crappie smoked him.
Yeah. I made the statement while we were out there hunting today. I was like, Steve's got some kind of genetic disposition. It's like quail. He's like, maybe I'll shoot that. Maybe I won't. Chucker, same way. But them pheasant, man, you're top gunning them something fierce.
I grew up in Iowa, so we had a lot of pheasant there. But I have to tell you, this is a great experience.
It is.
I mean, Mike is a great host. The dogs are great. The birds are great. The property's awesome. If you haven't done this, this is an incredible experience. I mean, what a fun time. They do everything for you. All you have to do is show up, bring your gun. They do everything. I mean, and it is just a fun time.
Yeah, Mike offered to take my gun and shoot a few of them for me because he's like, look, somebody's got to kill some birds out here.
We were a little rusty at first.
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah.
I will admit. Yeah.
Well, we did pretty good. I mean, I think you guys did a little better than I did.
Well, if you shoot enough shells, you're going to eventually kill a bird.
Well, and the other thing that I really appreciate is not being made fun of too
much
by the guide, but also, you know, the instruction.
Oh, he's making fun of you.
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciate the instruction where he's talking about,
exactly.
You know, hunting three hunters.
Right.
You know, do you hunt two up and one back? And although I think most of it's for his self-preservation, it's also a big help.
True.
In helping you to kill birds, you know, say, hey, look, stand here. Yeah, I'm going to position, you know, the dogs like this. The dogs on point, spread out. Let's get this line up. I mean, he's the quarterback of the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And, I mean, it works out good. And, you know, sometimes you miss a bird, sometimes you don't. And sometimes you get another shot at him when he's like, hey, where'd that thing land?
Yeah.
And sometimes three guns go off and you try to figure out who got it.
Yeah. Well, that's when we go back to what Springer was talking about earlier about his stuffed quail.
Yeah.
The lead stuffed quail.
There was a few of them got hammered, okay, because, you know, we'd all kind of
focus. Well, if you stop shooting them off the ground, you know.
Man, look, I'm all about shooting, okay, ground shooting.
You know what I like about this? This is a great experience, whether you are a amateur or you've been out a lot.
Yep.
You can do it.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, and the really cool thing about it is, you know, if you are rusty, like Springer was talking about, you can always come down here and bring you some extra shells, come down the day before, and spend some time on the skeet range, and they paint that target at Orange. And they're a little bit more. So you can knock some of the rust off.
Right.
And then, you know, the next day you can get lined up, have you a good coil hunt, because they've got accommodations here on site.
Very nice, too.
And there's going to be something to eat somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's a great hunt this morning. What was the most memorable when, part of the morning?
When the boss smoked that rooster, first rooster that came up.
Yeah.
I was in shock, like, you know, because I've never shot at a pheasant or even, and he came up and I was like, oh, you know, I'm like, oh my God, what's the heck up? About that time, center crappie smoked.
I knew what was going to happen. Springer, I've actually witnessed that before.
I was like, dang, you know.
We came out a couple of years ago, and Mike looked at me and Wayne and said, we got a couple of pheasants here in the next line.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
See, y'all didn't warn me that, you know, I didn't get a wink.
Now, nobody said anything this morning.
Nobody said nothing.
No.
And when I first got up, I was just in awe of it because, you know, the racket it makes as it's getting up, and it's just a beautiful sight.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's a crumbled wad of feathers.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
It was awesome.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, I didn't know you weren't supposed to shoot the hen. Both of y'all held up. And, you know, Steve's got that hen. And I'm like, you know, shoot the hen. For release bird that whatever's released.
Well, the hen was the only one I was able to actually put some lead in.
Yeah.
After y'all done it up a couple times.
Yeah.
And so it got Springer.
That's awesome.
I finished it off.
And I tell you what, I got to the one story. They had a, we had one bird that was wounded. And we had sent Springer down into the woods after him.
I lost him.
He did not take hand signals very well.
I lost him.
We're going to have Mike Johnson on the show talk about how to hand signal, how to hand train your radio part.
I couldn't find a bird, but I did have a stick for the one that was wounded. Yeah. And we kept trying to hurt it up. I had a stick. I was going to put the club to it, you know, so it's all good, man.
You just can't get the Alabama out of the boy sometimes.
It's in my genetics, man.
You got a gun in your hand.
Yeah, but good God, the bird's right there, man.
Yeah. Kick him.
I liked your idea. Yeah. That's when Mike needs a 9-iron.
Yeah, and just chip him. Just chip him up there.
It was awesome. The scenery was beautiful. And where they do this at, you got hay bales, you got some brown top millet maybe was in that field, and then your sage grass. And then it was everything I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you've been on
20 plus years. Yeah.
Well, I'll compliment you. Yeah. It's getting towards Christmas.
Yeah.
You didn't shoot bad for somebody who hadn't shot quail in 20 years.
Yeah, but it took about a half a box to even start drawing feathers.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something to be said about listening to the guide.
Yeah.
And
I don't listen to anybody.
How you need to shoot number eights, improved cylinder.
I know.
I think you were a little bit handicapped shooting that modified.
Well,
choke
I did. You know, we weren't sure what we were going to do. You know, we was worried about the weather, but that's no excuses. You know, I started getting smart and letting them get out there a little ways, and letting that pattern spread, and that started paying off. After y'all done missed them a couple times, I let it get out there 30 yards and was able to, whew, finally I got one. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it because I hear it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You keep hearing it.
I mean, you know, so I could have got my pellet gun and, you know, just shot at them on the ground. I don't know. What the heck?
Hey, maybe that's what we'll do next time. We'll come out and we'll have Springer bring his
pellet gun. Okay.
That's what he's used to. That's what the way he's used to hunting. Anyway, shooting him off of a bird feeder.
Hey, anyway. But
well, Steve, before we let you go and go to our commercial break, you know, 5 years on the air, Upstate Outdoors, we got a bunch of sponsorship, some big sponsors like Clinton House Plantation, Smoky Dreams Barbecue, and the list goes on and on. But we got some room for more. Somebody wants to tag on to the train with Upstate Outdoors?
That's right. Give us a call.
Yeah.
And can you believe it was this guy that put it? This was his idea to put me and you together.
Yeah.
And he, what the hell was he thinking?
Well, he actually
it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. He thought you could shoot better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so we wait till you get 5 years under the belt, and then take him out and say, okay. I thought these guys could shoot a whole lot better.
Yeah, well.
Actually, I think Mike Johnson summed it up best.
I'm sure.
He said, after a few shots and a few first round,
That's exactly what he said, dude.
That's exactly
what. I mean, we're shooting compound and Mike's.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is coming to you live. Well, we're not quite sure about that. We got a little technical difficulties, which is, of course, when you're broadcasting remotely. But I tell you what, we make up for your listening. For our comfort, because we're sitting out here on the couch in the lodge at the Clinton House Plantation out in front of the fireplace just hanging out.
It's sweet,
man. It's sweet. And go have some bars outboards in the pheasant tower shoot that he was doing there, and that's for a great cause.
Yeah.
And so looking forward to going in there and visiting. Mike had Oscar on the radio with us just a little bit. And Ray, I want to talk a little bit. I have about three or four items here to talk about with the Department of Natural Resources. And one of them, I need a little bit to figure something out.
Okay.
The U.S. Forest Service just announced that teaming up with the Department of Natural Resources and the South Carolina Forestry Commission on a 10-year conservation partnership. Basically, what they're saying is the Forest Service, CNR, and the South Carolina Forestry Commission have entered into two wide-ranging agreements that allow the agencies to work together in providing long-term active forest management on federally owned forest lands in the Palmetto State. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about that?
Wow.
This been in the news here lately.
California.
In forest burn.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that U.S. Forest Service gets a lot of heat for kind of some of their, not so much their techniques that they use to control burning and
maybe
all.
Maybe the time of the year.
But, you know, just, okay, so they're subcontracting this and that.
Right.
I wonder what involvement of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. I wonder maybe that's something new there. What maybe we, you can't go in and move animals around,
right?
Maybe be a little bit more impact studies,
right?
Or just making sure that, hey, look, instead of going in and let's do a 1,000-acre burn, let's do a couple of smaller burns,
yeah.
You know, moving stuff right in the direction. Right. Maybe that's especially when you're talking about the Summer National Forest. They're like, hey, look, we've identified this area, and maybe we do something different.
Yeah,
you know, versus having the same old
yeah.
control burn on that. But it's also one of the things that you mentioned when this agreement came out is managing the Sumter National Forest in the upstate here and the Francis Marion National Forest in the Lowcountry. Basically, those constitute the largest forest in the area. So when we're talking about forest management, you know, of things, maybe that's going to be managed a little bit more towards hunter. Some timber.
Hunter National Forest is close to here. It's right down the road, if I'm not.
Yeah, it's in Lawrence County,
right.
Union County, Fairfield,
right.
Greenwood counties,
correct.
Stuff like that. A lot of the public land that people hunt are going to be involved in that. And also, a pretty big track up around Oconee County.
Correct.
So, they don't give a whole lot of details in their news release. They're talking about the director of DNR, Alvin Taylor, says we're particularly excited about the prospect of using these agreements to move habitat restoration forward in a timely and efficient manner. on the Forest Service lands is within our South Carolina Bobwhite Initiative focus area.
Right.
So maybe, and that's anytime that we talk about bobwhite quail management, they're always talking about managing edges.
Yes.
Or basically not managing. In other words, don't get near and just mow those edges down.
True.
So maybe they're going to input in that. Yeah. So, and the other news that we had in with the DNR released the annual turkey harvest numbers. They're showing a slight decline in for 2018 in the wild turkey harvest number. Decline. It might be some change. We're what, about 3 years into the new season.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Phil, I think it's just going to be, it's going to take a while to find a solution. I don't know what it is. I see this.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson, they have 100% success with their turkey hunts here at the Clinton House Foundation.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, and that, you know, you're talking about a definitely a smaller tract of land compared to the state.
But they limit the
if you limit the turkeys, also you're talking about the management of the program that you have here, which we were just talking about that, then you're definitely your success rate going up.
Right.
Maybe that's the key. I mean, if you're looking at trying to manage all that on a larger scale,
it's tougher. It's a whole lot tougher.
It's a lot harder to do.
And, you know, the habitat here, with my ride around with Mike yesterday and also this morning, it's prime turkey habitat as well. I mean, they got the bottoms, the creeks, the open fields, the food plots. I mean, it's turkey utopia, man.
I'm gonna tell you another thing that is prime habitat for, even there's no season on either one of these,
right,
is red-tail hawks.
Oh my God.
And turkey buzzers.
Exactly. This is the best place in the world for your red-tail hawk.
Yeah, because a lot of those birds that
don't
exactly find their way in the middle of the shot pattern.
Sure.
And end up out there and, you know, maybe not be collected.
Yeah.
They do get used.
Yeah, they do get used.
Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to get the Roadkill Cafe at the top of the second hour.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, live at the Clinton House Plantation. Going to take a break for the news. We'll be back on the flip side.